There was a review that was left on Apple Podcasts regarding this podcast show, explaining why the teachings on this show are wrong. On today, we're going to go through their review, and I'm explaining to you why they are 100% wrong and inaccurate. Make sure you stay tuned.
You are listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host and teacher, Darius Good. He is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center and founder of Good Treasure Ministries. He is the author of the books Unlocking Godly Wisdom and The Divorced Christian. For more information, visit the website at thedivorcedchristian.com. And now, here's your host, Darius Good.
Welcome to another episode of the Divorced Christian Podcast Show. My name is Darius Good. I am the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, which is located in Hamden, Connecticut. This podcast show was created for Christians who have experienced divorce. We do not promote divorce, but what we do promote is accurate teachings of God's word, of the scriptures. And here's the problem that we have run into is we have learned that the church teaches the scriptures through an American lens. And so even in the review that was left regarding this podcast show, I'll show you the discrepancy between the Christian understanding and what the actual Bible says regarding this particular subject. I began searching this subject out in 2021. I dove in with both feet and took a new look, a fresh look at this subject, specifically looking at the subject of divorce. I've been studying this for the last 4 years and studying Judaism. And as a result of it, I have had a much better understanding of the Old Testament, of the culture of ancient Israel, the times in which Jesus lived, what was going on with the people and the culture, what was going on there in Rome. And it has painted a very different picture than what I've learned. I have grown up in church. I'm a pastor's son. All the teachings that I've heard on Christianity regarding divorce and remarriage, I am very familiar with. And I believed it up until recently. And so all that I've learned, I've put in my book, The Divorced Christian, as well as a new book that I'm currently writing called The Loophole. I cannot wait to go through this information. I continued studying after I finished that book, The Divorced Christian, and I have learned so much more information on this particular subject. I have probably taught only about maybe 30% of what I have learned on this subject. And so when people argue with me, I'm like, you don't even know the entire picture yet, especially if you listen to the podcast show. I can't believe we're already 67 episodes in and I got so much more to cover. And so let's jump right in. What I'm going to do is read to you the review and then I'm explain what they said that was correct and what they said that is completely wrong and in error. And so here we go. So this is the review. It states, I agree with Darius to an extent. I don't believe put away only refers to the sending out of the home without the bill of divorce. With that logic, Joseph wanted to send Mary without a get, and that's not true. Jesus' teachings on divorce and remarriage are deeper than the legalities. Otherwise, he would have been doing the same thing the Pharisees were doing. Instead, God went to the beginning to let the crowd know they fell short rather than had legal grounds or not. Divorce, especially remarriage, always falls short of God's glory, always. God says, think not that I have come to abolish the law, then goes into a deeper understanding of all the things people thought they had right. Meanwhile, the crowd learned that God requires more than a legal box check. He wants your heart. A divorced man or woman being remarried was not and is not God's intent, but concessions were made. Regardless of the reasoning, remarriage while the first spouse is living was and is an act that falls short of God's will. Just keep your word, no excuses. And so that's the review that was left regarding this podcast show. All right, so there are a few things that I do agree with regarding this review. I do believe that it was not God's intent for people to get divorced and remarried. But as I explained, the beginning, as Jesus stated, deals with Adam and Eve. You're dealing with a time in which sin did not dwell It did not abide in the earth. Once Adam sinned, it says that death and sin, or death through sin, entered into the earth. And so when we had a world that God intended to be incorruptible, God intended man to be immortal, but sin caused a change to the plan. Once the plan was changed, man's heart was also changed. And so there was no sacrificing of animals in the garden. But once Adam sinned, they began to sacrifice animals because the blood of animals was now required to enter into the presence of God. That was not God's original intent either. There's a lot of things that was not God's original intent. And so if Adam hadn't sinned, then Jesus would not have come. He wouldn't have had to die on the cross. And so I don't want to belabor this point because I want to get to the main point regarding Joseph and Mary. And so there's a few things in this that I do agree with. Majority of it, I don't. I do not believe, as the person stated, that the argument with Jesus and the Pharisees is regarding legality. Because that would suggest that the Pharisees were teaching the law and then Jesus came to bring what? Deeper understanding? No, Jesus was teaching the law. The Pharisees was teaching tradition. The law is made up of 613 laws. The law of Moses has 613 laws. It consists of commandments or laws, as well as precepts, statutes, and ordinances. And what the Christian church has taught is that Moses instituted certain ordinances and statutes that God was not pleased with. That is erroneous teachings. Now, Jesus stated that divorce is a precept. Mark chapter 10, verse 5, Jesus answered and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote you this precept." Now, where did the precepts come from? If you go to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 13 through 14, Nehemiah 9, 13 through 14, it says, "Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments." Verse 14 says, "And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath and commandments, them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, thy servant." Moses was not the author of the law of Moses. It was given to Moses by God. God gave him all the statutes, all the ordinances, all the precepts, all the commandments. It all came from God. Jesus did not come to repair, to change, or fix anything. What I do find interesting in the review, though, is that they stated that Jesus said, "I did not come to abolish the law." And yet, every Christian I talk to regarding this subject gives me a different interpretation of the law. If Jesus did not come to change or abolish the law, then the law was not changed. And yet, our understanding as Christians is drastically different than what the law of Moses states. So, the argument that this person makes is that Joseph would not have sent Mary away without a get. And so, the word "put away" has to mean divorce. So, let's go to the passage of Scripture. As a person stated with that logic, talking about my logic, the logic of Darius Good, with my logic, here's the problem. I'm not preaching logic. This is not logic versus logic. What I'm giving to you is historical facts, and I'm giving to you cultural facts, and I'm giving to you history. If you study ancient Israel and their interpretation of their laws, that's what I'm explaining to you. I'm explaining to you how they lived. What's funny to me is if we got into an argument regarding Rome, let's pick any other nation, the Assyrians, the Phoenicians. We can go to China. Let's go to ancient China. People wouldn't argue with me. They would go to a textbook and they would look this information up. But what we do is we go to the scriptures and we try to use logic in order to understand how an ancient culture lived. We don't have to do that. They left writings for us, and the Jews are still maintaining the same lifestyle. I didn't make this information up. I was shocked when I uncovered this information because I believed the general Christian teachings on this subject. That's all I had heard all my life. I thought they were, I believed they were accurate until I had an encounter with God, and what God explained to me was drastically different than what I heard taught. And I was like, maybe I need to go back and look at this subject again. So, based on this person's logic, I love that, their logic, Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, it talks about how Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to put her, Mary, or make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. And so this person is believing that the word put away has to mean divorce because this verse describes Joseph as a just man. So as a just man, he would not send her away. He would have to divorce her first. And I have always heard the teaching of Joseph deciding to divorce Mary privately. I have always heard these teachings. But now that I understand the law of Moses, I understand their court system, I understand their process of their system of court, as I began to go into deeper understandings of their cities and their structures, I understand that that's very, very inaccurate. So let's go through this. Number one. So here's number one. If you look this word up, put away in the Greek, the word put away in the Greek is apolio. The definition of the word apolio means to send away. It means to bid, to leave, to release. That's the definition of the word. Now, whenever you find this word used in context, it always deals with sending away. The scripture says that Jesus, he would preach to the multitude, and then he would send them away. Look the word up. It means apolio. Let me give you several scriptures. And so one would be Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. They were in a desert place, and the time was now past. And the disciples told Jesus to send the multitude away. That word send is apolio. Jesus was not divorcing the multitude. I guess here's another verse. Matthew 14, verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 23. Matthew 15, verse 23. Matthew 15, verse 32. Matthew 15, verse 39. How many verses do I need to give you that you see the word is always used to mean sending away? Now, I understand the logic that if Mary has a ketubah and they're now betrothed, meaning they've entered into the kiddushon stage of marriage, if they're going to end the marriage, they would need a divorce. That's true. And that's someone that now understands the culture. Here's the major, major problem with this conclusion. So, the church has always taught Joseph was going to divorce Mary privately. What is a private divorce? Somebody please explain to me what that would look like in ancient Israel. Now, when I've asked people this question, people stare at me because they don't know the process. They don't know the court system, the procedures that was required for a divorce. So let me explain it to you. If Mary, who is now with child, could potentially be charged with the crime of adultery, for her to stand before a court, it would require her to stand before the lesser Sanhedrin. They had three levels to their court system. The Beit Din is their lowest court system Then they have the Lesser Sanhedrin and then the Great Sanhedrin. The charge of adultery is a capital crime that risks death if found guilty. In order to be charged with that, Mary would have to stand in front of 23 judges. Please look up the Lesser Sanhedrin. This is not opinion. This is not logic. If she's charged with adultery, if he's going to divorce her for adultery, she would have to stand before the Lesser Sanhedrin. That's 23 judges. Let's go a little deeper, because the person charged with the crime was not required to be interrogated by the judges. The way their court system worked was the witnesses in Israel were interrogated by the judges. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 18, it says, "The judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother," we'll stop there. It's the witnesses that were interrogated. They were separated, and all 23 judges would ask questions of the witness. In addition, it required two or three witnesses for every word to be established. So Joseph had a major problem because there's no witnesses. There's no man that Mary had been dealing with. Matter of fact, if you understood Jewish culture, they have a law that is against being secluded with the opposite sex. The law of seclusion, and it also they have the law of touch, where a man will not touch a woman that's not his wife. And a woman will not touch a man that's not her husband. And I've had contact with Jews in the neighborhood that I grew up in. Women would not even shake the hand of a man they're not married to. So this Christian American mindset has many flaws when it comes to this doctrine, because they don't understand the people. They don't understand the culture. And I'm telling you, they don't understand the scriptures. Let's keep going. Let's say Joseph decided not to charge her with adultery. Let me just divorce her. Then Joseph would have to take Mary to the Beit Din. This is the lowest court system where divorces were handled. In that court system, it required three judges. Three judges. One of them had to be a priest. At least one had to be a priest. It also required a scribe. And it also required two witnesses that were not family members. So please tell me how Joseph would have been able to do a private divorce. Even in the United States, you cannot have a private divorce. You may be able to go to court and get divorced without your family members knowing, but that information is public knowledge. There is no private divorce in the U.S. There was no private divorce in Israel, even in ancient Israel. They had records. They had land deeds. And so they kept records of marriages. They kept records of divorce. That's why the scribe had to be present. They were responsible for writing legal documentation. So how was Joseph going to go to a court and get a private divorce? Maybe he doesn't disclose. Maybe he doesn't disclose why his reason for getting divorced. But here's the problem with any of that thinking. That would make Mary a public example. The one thing he said he didn't want to do. Matthew 1 verse 19. Joseph, her husband, he's the husband because they've already signed the marriage contract, the ketubah, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. If he takes her to court and divorces her, she would become a public example. So what we've done is taken this verse, Matthew 1:19, and taken that one passage that at the end of the verse where it says he was minded to put her away privately. We came to the conclusion that he had to divorce her privately. That's not true. All you have to do is look the word up. And how about this? Believe what the word means. Put away means send her away. What was Joseph going? Here's another problem. Oh, let me explain this. They were in the city of Nazareth. How many people lived in Nazareth? Well, look that up. roughly around 300, some believe at the most 500. But scholars give a range, being a general range, between 100 and 1,000 people. Please explain to me how that divorce was going to be private. 1,000 people? I'm being gracious with the numbers. They believe it's around 300. But we have 1,000 members in churches. There's nothing private happening amongst 1,000 people. That's a small village. So the idea of a private divorce is not possible when you understand the culture, understand their laws, and understand the cities that they lived in. That would also mean that when they had their ketubah dinner, their engagement party, so to speak, that's how we would use the language, but it's their kiddushan ceremony. The entire village was probably invited. They all knew Joseph and Mary were getting married. They knew the families of Joseph and Mary. So this idea of a private divorce, that is inaccurate. Let's use the definition of the word apolio. If we plug that word in, instead of using the word put away, then this verse simply reads, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, who was not willing to make a public example out of her, was thinking to send her away secretly. Now, that would make sense. He doesn't want her to be dragged through the court system, to be shamed and embarrassed. The families would be shamed and embarrassed. He's trying to think of a way, how do I get through this? How do I fix this problem? His thought was to send her away. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't thinking of divorcing her, because he would have been able to divorce her in a different city. But he was not going to divorce her in Nazareth. That would have been an embarrassing display. It's amazing. The verse tells us what he did not want to do. And that's what we preach, that that's what his plan was to do. Let's look these words up. Look them up in the Hebrew if you're in the Old Testament. Look them up in the Greek if you're in the New Testament. If you understand the culture of ancient Israel, people traveled all the time. Matter of fact, I began studying, as I studied the culture of Israel, I had to study cohabitation because I did not realize husbands and wives did not always live together. They would travel for long, extended periods of time. Many times it's fishermen, they would go off to sea. Soldiers would go off to battle. They would live for extended periods of time away from each other. Mary, who was engaged, had gone off to Judah to visit her cousin Elizabeth. How long did she live there or stay there? She was there for 3 months. 3 months. And then she returned to Nazareth. So for Joseph to consider the idea of secretly leaving, secretly sending her away, is not far-fetched. Matter of fact, if you follow the story, what happened next? Now, we know that God sends a dream, tells him to take Mary, that she has not committed adultery. She was not with another man. But now we have them heading off to Bethlehem because of the requirement to pay taxes. So at this point, they are still espoused. They're still engaged. They are still in the kiddushan stage of marriage, and they're traveling to Bethlehem. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, it explains that Joseph left Nazareth, traveled to Bethlehem. Verse 5 says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. They had not entered into the nishuan stage of marriage yet. They hadn't had the full-fledged marriage ceremony yet. So they're still engaged. They did not get married in Nazareth. And this is how they avoided the public shame. If you continue to follow the story, Jesus had to be circumcised in Jerusalem by the 8th day. So after the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, they traveled to Jerusalem. Jesus is circumcised. And then it says, and the wise men came and found the child Jesus in Bethlehem. So they returned back to Bethlehem following the circumcision, and they remained there until Joseph had a dream where God told him to take Jesus and Mary into Egypt. And they remained in Egypt for several years until they returned to Nazareth. God had a plan in place to avoid this whole catastrophe. But no, Joseph was not going to divorce Mary privately. Joseph was going to send her away privately or secretly. Now, there are several other points that was made in this review that I don't want to rush through. And so I'm going to go into part two as I correct some other things that was explained in the review. Thank you for joining us on today. If you would like to leave a review, I would appreciate it. If you leave a review either on Spotify or on Apple, I do read everything that is posted. I don't read it immediately, but I do get around to it. But thank you for joining us on today. Visit the website, thedivorcedchristian.com. I have resources that's on that website at the bottom of the website because I am not using logic. I'm using Jewish culture and teachings to explain the teachings of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us on today. Till next time.
You've been listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host, Darius Good. This was a Good Treasure Ministries production. Darius is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, and he is the author of the book, The Divorced Christian. To learn more about this book and other books written by Darius, or to listen to other episodes of our podcast show, visit our website today at thedivorcedchristian.com. We pray that today's episode has brought revelation, understanding, and healing. Please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast show. And until next time, be blessed.